So three lessons that we want to look at today's, from today's passage. Number one, prayer is powerful and effective. Okay, prayer is powerful and effective. And this is, again, James has been historically in the church very controversial. A lot of church pastors and leaders, scholars or whatever, a lot of famous guys didn't like James. The first one being Martin Luther. Martin Luther was not a big fan of James. He didn't even think that James should be in the Bible. Okay? Because he said James has no grace. James is all like, do this, don't do this. So he was like, okay. But, there is gospel here, but we just got to dig at it a little bit, right? This is one of those parts in James where it's very practical, okay? Meaning, James is one of those books where it's like, when you meet people, especially in college, and they're like, man, the Bible is so confusing. And you're like, why? And I've actually had this conversation before. People that I met in college, they're like, Bible is so confusing. And I was like, why? And they're like, because you don't know what it says. And I remember at least like twice in college, I was like, have you read James? And they're like, no. Right? This is when everyone needs to have your Bible on you. You just never know, right? And so I was like, I took it out of my bag, busted open to James. And I was like, and I read, this area. Right? Confess your sins to one another and pray for one another. I was like, what's so confusing about that? And they're like, okay, this is why I haven't been invited to speak at my college fellowship. Okay? My sinfulness. Okay, I always should have been like nicer and more gracious. Okay. Pray with me. Okay. But here, very practical. Confess your sins to one another. Okay. Now there's a little bit of in context, right? If you look in your Bible and move up a little bit to verse 14 and 15, James mentions specifically going to the elders. Okay. Now I put up a little thing on the church website on it, so I'm not going to take too much time on it. But there is a our church has elders, okay, people who are charged by God and voted in, I guess, yeah, voted in by our church congregation to be spiritual leaders, oversight people, right? And these are the guys, when Jesus comes back, they have to stand in front of God and God will ask them, how well did you care for Elliot's spiritual life? And if they say, Elliot who? That's very bad for them. That's not good. Okay? And so these are the guys who are in charge, right? And James does talk about the aspect where we need to go to our elders and leaders, that when we're sick and when we have knees, brokenness, you pop out your shoulder at a retreat again. Call the elders. No. Those are minor things. But if you like get hit with a Mack truck, because Bobby kept on saying it, so it's on my mind now. If you get hit with a Mack truck and you survive, call somebody, will you? Okay, call the elders, right? And this is not a job just for Colin's dad to go and pray for you, right? This is the elders, the collective. Okay, so it's not just Reverend Choi who's tasked with this job. The elders are tasked with this job. Okay, so it's unfair for us to just think, oh, if I get sick or if I'm in the hospital, then I'm going to just want Elder Choi or Reverend Choi to come. Right? There's Kristen's dad. Right? There's other guys who are elders, and they're tasked to care for us spiritually. Okay? There's that aspect. But I think also James talks about the possibility of us being able to share our prayer requests with one another. Okay? And I spoke on this a little briefly, I guess, and I definitely spoken this with some of you guys on one-on-one occasions. But it's the idea of prayer requests where we're really good or we're okay with sharing prayer requests where we're like, I suck at this, therefore I need you to pray with me for this. Like, we share our weakness or failure. I can't play the F chord to save my life. Pray with me that God will, Jesus will magically change my hand so I can do it. Okay? And I get this from my mentor, and I have no shame saying that, but it's this. When we just share our weakness and our failures, guess where the focus is? By us. Look at my weakness. Look at my failure. Pray for me. Pray for me. Me, 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 me. Me, myself, and I all the time. Right? You see, so you see how it like starts very like Christian, and then but then it's subtly not. You know? And so we share our prayer requests, our weaknesses, our failures, and also our successes. Right? Because when we share our successes, God gets the glory and the church is encouraged. When you guys share with me answered prayers and growth, I'm encouraged. Right? Like one of the highlights, there was many highlights at the retreat. One of the highlights was one of the students from our church said to me, I feel like God wants me to choose him, but then I want to choose video games. I don't know what to do. It's so hard to balance. And I was like, it's hard because it's not supposed to be a balance. And he was like, oh. And I was like, because you have to pick Jesus and love Jesus more than this. Then everything else falls into place. And he was like, oh. Right? And then he prayed, oh God. This is one of the most beautiful prayers. He said, oh God, I want to choose you, but I'm so weak. And I have no power. So please help me. Right? So prayer is powerful and effective. Okay? And the power of prayer covers both physical and spiritual. Right? So if you have a busted finger or in the hospital, right? Don't be afraid to ask people, hey, pray for me. Pray with me. Okay? Not to say that God will always necessarily heal you, right? Because Paul, remember, Paul had this gift of healing where, like, you guys remember, did I tell you the story? Paul preached for hours. He, like, if for us, it's like, oh my gosh, he's going over 20 minutes. What's wrong with this guy, right? But Paul preached for hours. And this guy apparently, like, fell out the window and died, broke his neck. Can you imagine? At the end of the... Hey, so what was the highlight of your life? Paul brought me back to life. How did you die? Fell asleep, fell out the window when Paul was preaching. So you were that guy, huh? Anyway, right? So he died, right? And then Paul was like preaching, and he's like, oh shoot, someone died. So he went downstairs and raised him up. Oh snap. I bet you after that, like second part of his message, everyone was like, everyone's standing, right? Because they don't even want to fall asleep anymore. Right? Everyone's standing in the back. So there's no one in the front, right? But Paul had that kind of power. But guess what? There's instances in the New Testament, if you read his letters, where his friends got sick and then they didn't get healed. He definitely prayed for them. He definitely prayed with them, but they didn't get healed. Okay? So that's not to say that just because we get hurt and we pray that God's automatically going to do this. No. But it is, but God is still the king of the universe, and we're saying to God, hey God, I'm broken. Will you heal me? Will you heal me? Second lesson we want to see is prayer is powerful because prayer aligns our will with God's. Okay, prayer aligns our will with God's. Okay, James gives an example from the Old Testament of Elijah, one of my favorite characters. Okay, Elijah. In case you were wondering what his name means, it means literally, my God is Yahweh. That's what it means, Elijah. Right? That's why my boy's name is Elijah. Right? And also, he is the author of biblical trash talking, right? And Bobby talked about that a little bit, right? Maybe he's taking a poop. Maybe you should scream louder. Ah! Maybe you should cut yourself. Right? And so Elijah, that's that guy, right? And that's just a small part of his life. Right? There's another part of his life where God, okay, in his judgment against Israel, right? Because remember what Elijah said. Remember when he was all depressed? And God was like, why are you depressed? And Elijah's like, I try so hard and I pray so much and I'm fighting, but everyone's dead. But no one cares. They killed all the pastors and all the Christians. I'm the only one left. Kill me now. Alright? And so in the middle of that story, God tells Elijah, pray and bring drought. Right? This is before the battle, like where he kills the 400 prophets of Baal. Right? And so Elijah prays. And it doesn't rain in the freaking country for 3.5 years. Okay? Back in the day, right? Or if you go on 66 and you go west a little bit, there's a whole lot of farmland. Right? Can you imagine if like it no rain for 3.5 years? In Virginia, it doesn't rain for like 2 weeks. They're like, oh my gosh, it's a drought. Don't take showers. Don't wash your dishes. Don't wash your car. Right? And don't the funniest thing is, don't water your lawn. I'm like, if you're in a drought, like, why would you care about... There's no lawn. Everything's dead because it's all hot, you know? And I see my neighbors, they're like... you know, because they want to water. You know, some people are, like, super hardcore about their lawn, like, make it look nice. It looks like a golf course, right? It's, like, perfect. Right? And they're like... Go! I'll report you, right? But Elijah, he's like, but James was saying this. Look at Elijah. Look at the kind of guy he is. You know, we all know the stories. And he prays, and then the rain stops, and then God's bringing a revival, and then God tells Elijah to pray again, and he prays, and it's crazy because he's like, he prays that God would bring rain, and then it starts with a little cloud, and it grows, and it becomes a huge storm. And we're like, oh, Elijah, he's like, you know? But James is like, as great as Elijah is just a dude. And his prayers were powerful for sure. But his prayer was powerful only because he listened to God. He listened to the will of God. And his prayer was always in the will of God. Meaning this, our prayers will be powerful only when... only when we are praying in obedience to God's desires for us and for the church. Meaning there is a distinct possibility that even as Christians, even as God's children, we can pray absolutely useless and powerless prayers. And I think for us, it's that's the norm. And that's sad and just scary. Because as children of God, we've kind of prayed prayers where we dictate to God, God, I want you to do this. I want you to give me that. I want you to stop this. I want you to do this. And when God's like, no. Right? Because we're like telling God what we want instead of asking God, what is it you want, right? That God says no. And so we're used to God saying no. And so then our prayer becomes weak. So we put up all these kinds of prayers. Oh God, give us revival. You know, heal me of this. Save us from that. And we don't expect God to show up because we're so used to Him saying no. Because we dictate to Him what we want. Instead of saying, God, what is it that you want? 100% to make sure that God doesn't answer your prayers or in my prayers is we dictate to God what we want. Because that's when we say, God, you're... great and all, but you know what? I know better. I know what I need. So why don't you just hook me up with this? Why don't you hook me up with that? In college campuses, they're like filled with people with great intentions. Oh, I want to love God. But then if you listen to how they pray, it's kind of ridiculous. God, give me... I know I didn't go to church, but if you give me an A... I will go to Father's Heart 2014 and I will give the most amazing seminar as if it was up to them, right? And you're like, what? Doesn't make sense. Prayer aligns our will with God. When we pray, the more we pray, the better we pray. It reminds us. We need to get in the habit of, when we pray, say, God, what is it that you want? Instead of always just being stuck on, God, I want this. It's, what is it you want? Because we like the Bible passages where it says, God will give you the desires of your heart. But we don't like the part where earlier in the passage it says, seek God first in your heart. You see that? Because what that passage actually says is, when you seek God, number one, then He will give you the desires of your heart. Why? Because your desire is for God. Your desire is for what God wants, not what you want. Therefore, when you pray with God, number one, in your heart, then it's going to be obvious. Right? It's going to be obvious because your desires is going to be what is most glorifying to God. And sometimes it's going to be terrible things. It's going to be broken relationships, bad grades, broken cars, a lot of different things. But when we pray those prayers, and it's dangerous. Right? I remember, I actually saw yesterday, like the day after Father's Day, like one of the counselors put up this like grandiose prayer. God, break me. Right? It was like, break me of this so that I can only desire you. And I was like, it's good that you prayed, but instead of putting it on Facebook, pray it. Actually pray it. But be warned, because when you pray those prayers, God is like serious. God actually listens. See, we need to come to the realization, this horrible, horrible, and magnificent realization that God actually pays attention to our words. God pays careful attention to our words. That when you pray, you might think, oh, my words stop at the ceiling of the room, but it doesn't. It goes to the ears of God, and He hears it, and He takes them very, very seriously. So when God says no, it's not because He necessarily gets angry. Oh, Jay, why are you praying this ridiculous prayer? No. But He says, a lot of times He says no with a broken heart. Because He's like, oh, Jay, why do you pray this? Don't you know I have so much more for you? Why do you pray this Mickey Mouse prayer? Nathan, why do you pray for these stupid things? Why are you grasping for rocks? Just remember. Why are you looking for rocks? Why are you asking me for rocks when I can give you gold? Right? Prayer aligns our will with God's. The third lesson we see, it's not really here, but it's inferred from the New Testament, is that we can pray with a powerful prayer, and our prayers align our hearts with God's. Mostly, and all of actually, mainly because we have one who prays for us consistently. Jesus prays for us. Romans 8:34 says this: who is the one who condemns? Christ Jesus is He who died, yes, but also He who was raised, and who is at right now at the right hand of God, who also intercedes for us. I think it's easy for us to be like, oh, Jesus lived and died and resurrected, and then we end there. But Jesus his story doesn't end there. He went back to heaven. And then some of us were like, oh, He went back to heaven. But we don't know what He's doing now. Like, He's in heaven playing PS3. Or He's gloving. I don't know what that is. I just saw Bobby doing it. I was like, what is that? But according to the Bible, what Jesus did was He went up to heaven and He is king. He is ruling. And He is also king of the church. He is interceding for us. You know what that means? That means Jesus is praying for you right now. Because the Bible says there is only one mediator between us and God. And that's Jesus. He's the high priest. Right? That's why it's such a big deal, that Jesus is the high priest. And He's better than Aaron. Right? Remember, Aaron, he stood in the gap. He stood in the middle. But he still failed. Because we need a high priest that's better than Aaron. And we have Jesus. And Jesus is the one, right? And so Jesus still prays for us. Even though he's finished the work on the cross and He's resurrected, He's in heaven. His role, His job as high priest still stands. So He doesn't quit. He's a high priest forever. So Jesus is there in heaven praying for us. With prayers that we can never even imagine. Can you imagine the kind of prayers? Like, I like it when people pray for me. Sometimes. Okay? Sometimes, like, you have, like, hardcore prayer people. And they pray for things that you don't want. Right? And you're like, I don't want that. Right? Like, I would pray for, if I pray for Ellie, I'd be like, oh, God, give him amazing guitar skills so he can go to the jungles of the Amazon while being constricted by a boa constrictor. With his last breath, he would sing songs to you to bring glory so that three natives running around in their underwear would know you, and he would die giving you glory. Right, Elliot, he's gonna be honest. I don't want that. I had this friend named David, loves Jesus, fantastic teacher. And he had this like fear of like doing missions. Like he's like, I'll go to like 2 weeks missions. I think he'd be like okay with going to DC for a week, but anything above that, he'd be like no. Right. So we had this joke, especially with Chun. Right. I remember one time we were having like prayer meeting, and it was his turn. And he's like, do I really have to? And then Chun walked in. He's like, oh shit. Right. And so we're going around praying for David, and then Chun was like, send them to the nations. And I remember I opened my eyes, like peeked it, and he was like, he's like, no, he's not. He's just joking. That's not for me. Right. We have these kinds of prayers, you know, like emotions when people pray for me, pray for us. But can you imagine Jesus praying for you? What kind of prayers he's praying? Just think about that. Because the stuff he's praying, for sure, number one, they're going to be like super powerful. And number two, it's like, dude. Because the prayers that Jesus will pray will not only heal and restore, but it's also going to be powerful. It's going to give us power and give us direction and clarity. Right, but that's what we have now. As his children, when we trust in God, when we trust in Jesus to be our Savior, not only do we see him as Savior, we have to also see him as King and also as High Priest. He takes care of his own. That's what he said. He says to his disciples, because he's like, I'm going to get arrested, beaten up, get jacked up, and get hung up on a cross. And they're like, right? But then he goes, what? I'm not going to leave you as orphans. Right, because he's giving you the Holy Spirit. He's given us the Holy Spirit. And he's in heaven watching over us, praying for us. Right? As the great theologian Ethan Kim one time said, we don't need all these extra steps. All we need is Jesus. I still remember, right? He said it and we're like, what the? Did you just say that? I think he said it and he's like, but we don't need these extra steps. We just need Jesus. Right? And so we have... So we pray because of prayer. We pray because it aligns our hearts with God's. And we ultimately pray because we pray in power and we pray with faith. That there is one... Because of his prayers, we pray. Because of his prayers, we are saved. Because of his prayers, we are cleansed. And not only that one moment when he saved us from our sins, but even now. Because of his prayers, now we are consistently held up. Because of his prayers, not because of mine, or not because of yours, but because of his prayers, we are still in grace. We are still holding and fighting and going on. Let's pray.